Good morning. It's Monday. We're going to make it great. So what we do, it is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 7:07, and your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. What's Bono up to? What's he down to, I guess? Getting low down and dirty.
He's not one of my favorites.
Yeah, look, I love their music. I really do. I've enjoyed seeing them in concert on several occasions.
But then he speaks.
Well, look, I think in some ways he's a humanitarian.
And, I would agree.
Yeah, and has done some good work.
Yes, I agree.
But
it comes from a very deeply rooted liberal mentality.
Yes, it does. And so yeah, he's got the Trump derangement syndrome, and yep. I guess we shouldn't be too surprised. But he claimed on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast the Trump administration disbandment of the U.S. Agency for International Development, you know, the U.S. aid we've been talking about, USAID.
That was the one where you could basically get a blank check.
Well, yeah.
No but, justification for what you wanted money for.
And it wasn't going to the things that they said it was,
right.
That it was earmarked for.
Mm-hmm.
It was used as a money laundering mechanism. So host Joe Rogan and Elon Musk were quick to straighten the Irish singer out. Because he said that the holding back of the disbandment of this USAID was responsible for 300,000 associated deaths. 300,000. That Bono wanted to blame on the administration and Doge. So Rogan and Musk were like, oh, no. This...
Wow.
Will blank you off, Bono warned, claiming tens of thousands of tons of food are rotting in warehouses from Djibouti to Houston because of recent USAID cuts, and those running the warehouses have been let go. What is that? That's not America, is it? Rogan responded. They're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, he said, while adding there were aid groups that delivered good work. The USAID system has been riddled with corruption and needed to go. For sure, it was a money laundering operation. For sure, there was no oversight. Trillions that were unaccounted for. Reacting on X to a clip of the conversation, Elon Musk slammed Bono directly. He's such a liar/idiot, Musk wrote, after others had already called Bono to account for his wild, untested assertion. Fox News made clear in its report, Bono's 300,000 figure comes not from confirmed deaths, but from a speculative model built by Brooke Nichols, a mathematical health modeler at Boston University, projecting what could happen as a result of the cuts. But, you know, it's based on the actual delivering of aid and food by accounting, by money-wise, we spent this amount of money, mm-hmm. not by actually delivering it, not by actual food being received. And that's a problem with the model. See, this is where if you don't use the right numbers to begin with, you get a model that doesn't work, just like the climate model
yep.
that they put together, you know, back during the Al Gore years. And they agreed later on that, the model was incorrect, and that's why, you know, Florida's not underwater right now. We got ahead of ourselves a little bit. And actually, they never really fully admitted it like that.
No, they
but
didn't.
That is the deal. Nichols, the mathematician, supposedly has said that the number is a projection, not a direct count, due to the absence of real-time tracking in many affected regions. The biggest uncertainties of all these estimates are, number one, the extent to which countries and organizations have pivoted to mitigate this disaster. And Washington Post, number two, which programs are actually still funded with funding actually flowing and which aren't. Yeah, I can tell you there's a lot of variables there. There's a lot of corruption there. There's a lot of money saying it's going somewhere, and the aid has not been delivered in many, many cases. In some cases, it probably has. But that probably would be the smaller number.
But when you know that things were, air quotes here, allotted to go somewhere, and the money went totally in somebody's pocket. guess what? It's not real, people. It's not real.
So does it irritate me that Bono went and said this? Yes, it does. But it does give an opportunity for folks to answer back and go, wait a second, let's actually look at the facts. So really, in reality, it might actually bring more focus to the kind of abuse that was going on.
But, you know, his fans and those on the left aren't going to get that whole message, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And they're going to just believe him because he's Bono.
Yeah.
And he does good.
Well.
Makes you feel good.
I mean, look, I think his heart is in the right place. I don't think he's an unintelligent person.
I would agree.
I just think that, you know, look, if he's fed some information, he trusts his lefty sources, and, you know, clearly they can't be trusted. And, you know, if you want to be credible and you want to lend a hand and be a person who's done good work, and we know you have in the past,
sure,
you have to be careful.
Yep.
Especially if it goes into pointing fingers.
Yes.
You want to point fingers and go, oh, yeah, everything was good before Doge came in. That would be incredibly inaccurate, and then he would lose credibility, and then he wouldn't be as useful to do the actual good work when he does do it.
Mm-hmm. But so, to say 300,000 people died, come on. A little fact-checking. I mean, it happens on both sides. There's stories out there right now that are, I'm sure, being spread by conservatives,
oh,
and
yeah,
it's
you
not
were just,
all accurate.
You were giving me a heads up on it. It was apparently President of China.
Xi Jinping, yes.
One of his daughter, or yes, a daughter,
yes,
apparently went to Harvard, possibly,
yes,
maybe still, or still living.
Going back like 10 years or so, went to Harvard. It is possible that she still lives here. That's still kind of up for grabs. But then part of the story that went on made the comment that Barron Trump was refused to get into Harvard. But Melania says they didn't apply. He didn't try to get into Harvard. So part of the story is true, but then part of it is not. So don't just spread it just because you may, even if you saw it on the news, I don't care. Do a little homework before you.
Well, and make sure if you want to use somebody like, and look, and so-and-so couldn't even get in, or so-and-so was refused.
Right.
Make sure that so-and-so actually did apply and really was refused.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I know it makes the story better, but what happens is people write off the whole story.
Yeah.
And part of it is true. Mm-hmm. She did go to school at Harvard.
So that's just kind of out there. And again, you know, I'm not saying all of the sources we look at 100%, but it would appear that that is what we're getting so far.
Speaker Johnson has come out and said no Medicaid cuts in the big, beautiful bill. Oh, it doesn't matter what you say, does it?
No.
They're still going to use it. Here, they're cutting this and that.
Grandma's going to starve.
Old people are going to starve. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was Sunday, NBC, Meet the Press. He said that Republican so-called big, beautiful spending bill does not include any cuts to Medicaid. He said, no, you can underscore what I'm about to tell you. There are no Medicaid cuts in the big, beautiful bill. We are not cutting Medicaid. This is all Medicaid. If I slipped and said Medicare, I'm sorry, but it's all Medicaid. What we are doing is reducing the program that's wrought with fraud, waste, and abuse to make sure that the program is essential to so many people and ensure that it is available for the most vulnerable. It's intended for young, single, pregnant women, the disabled, and the elderly. Yeah. I mean, anytime you cut out waste and fraud, it ensures that for the future and for the present, that people who truly qualify are going to be served and hopefully, you know, served well by it.
Right.
But you see, they are cutting it. They are going to make cuts, but it'll be the cut to the waste and the fraud. But it will never get told that way by the mainstream media. They'll just say they're cutting Medicaid.
Exactly.
What he should have said, we're not cutting any benefits whatsoever, but we're eliminating some people who are receiving it fraudulently. 716 on the Bob Rose Show. Is that bugging you? What is bugging you? Call in, air it out, get it off your chest. What's bugging you is brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. So call now, 877-975-9825. What's bugging you is next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome, my friends. It is 7:21. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we're making Mondays great. And part of that is the ability for you to call in and air it out and get it off your chest, whatever it may be. We call it What's Bugging You? And it's brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. But call in now. You'll feel better. 877-975-9825. I'm going to kick it off. I've got one. So I'm driving down the road, and I've come to work at, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I have my brights. They have an automatic setting. As soon as they see light coming the other way or taillights,
right,
they flick off. Mm-hmm. Now, are they perfect? Do they always operate as quickly as I would normally? No, but it's not bad. I'm not blinding anybody. But this happened the other day. I wonder if it's the same factory, the same factory guy.
Uh-huh.
And right at the last second, as they're approaching, they hammer on their brights on me. So they're acting like I was using my brights in some sort of malicious way. And I got to tell you, how it made me feel was not a good feeling.
Okay.
I mean, now I know where road rage comes from.
Right.
You have all these fantasies of what you're going to do.
Uh-huh.
You're going to turn around and hunt the guy down. I mean, totally unrealistic thoughts that you have, but it's like, wow, how could I let something like that really irk me that much? But it did.
Mm-hmm. I totally get that.
Yeah.
I get it.
Right in your, totally blinding, right at the last second on purpose.
Right.
It just, you know what I mean? And you say, Lord, let me get that out of my heart. Let's go to...
I should say that more often.
Yeah. Good morning, Jeff. What's bugging you?
In the same way that Biden was a facade of running the country, I think Trump is finding out that Putin isn't actually running the country. That's bugging me. God bless America.
Hmm. Ah, well, you'll have to call us back and tell us who is running it.
Well, it's the shadow government.
They have shadow governments too?
Could be.
Okay.
I don't know.
Good morning, Roy. What's bugging you?
Well, what bugs me is the fact that so many Democrat people, and I used to be one of them, don't bother to really look at what's going on. They just say, oh, it's a Democrat, then I'm voting for him. And I admit I did that when I was younger, too. And it just bugs me that even I did that.
Yeah, it's but look, I mean, you were intelligent enough and open-minded enough to try to look at the big picture and say, hey, well, the party changed. I mean, you can't blame anybody, at least for a certain period of time.
Right.
It began to change and morph. But now...
Yeah.
Now, I mean, it's pretty obvious where they're at. And then you got a goofball like, the former vice president candidate, Tim Walz.
Oh, my goodness.
Going up going, well, you talk to teachers and you know that bullying is bad. You know, you know, bullying is bad. You tell the kids, bullying's wrong. And but somebody like Trump, we need to bully him. We need to be meaner. And I'm like,
what an idiot.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he wants to be like a tough guy, machismo. He doesn't understand that. The tough guy is not the mouthy one, right? The tough guy is the one that's, what is it? Speak softly and carry a big stick. Let's go to Steve. Good morning. What's bugging you?
You know, I just drove by this watermelon field, and strangest thing, man, that's like, there's all kinds of people out there picking watermelons. I thought they weren't going to have any pickers because of this immigration crackdown. I wish those people get their story straight.
Yeah, there's plenty of immigrants that are here on work permits and other things, and they're here lawfully, and they're working hard, and but the fear that, oh, we're not going to have anybody to do this doesn't seem to be necessarily the case, does it?
No.
Pam, good morning. What's bugging you?
Good morning, Gavin Newsom. It's so they said something about Medi-Cal, so I guess that's their Medicaid version.
Yes.
They're not going to allow anybody to have Medi-Cal if they have over $2,000 in assets. I mean, $2,000 is really actually nothing. They said, okay, if you have a second car, okay, most of the people that are going to be on Medicaid or Medi-Cal, let's look at their cars. Let's look at this, see if they have a 1972 Pinto station wagon. You know, they... $2,000 is not considered an asset to me. And so they're going to deny them any kind of Medicaid.
Yeah, that does seem ridiculous. So they have 2,000 in assets. So what should they then do? Quickly liquidate that, and then they could apply for Medi-Cal? And what if they're using it for some income, delivery or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or they're never going to be able to get a job or anything else without right. some form of transport? It's just, no, I agree with you. T-Bone, good morning. What's bugging you?
Well, with all the vehicles today, you know, they're I feel like they're a lot safer, a lot better built, more airbags and everything. It really bugs me that people just still refuse to wear a seatbelt, you know, for any reason. You know, we had a family friend pass away last week, and was ejected.
Yeah, oh,
wow. Just wearing a seatbelt would have been a lot better. But I just it bugs me because I see it on the road every day.
I agree. I don't know. It's for me, it's a personal thing. I've just got in the habit of doing it, and I do it.
Yeah, me too.
Now my vehicle, I don't even think it'll get out of park if I don't do it.
I'd say the crazy one that still kind of bugs me, and again, people are going to do what they want to do, and you'll see it a lot of times. They'll be driving along, and the passenger is all comfortable with their feet up on the dash.
Ooh.
If that airbag goes off, that is folding you in half like a taco.
Do you hear that, Betsy?
No, are you serious? I can't
Sometimes,
believe anybody does
not very often, but
all it
occasionally.
Takes is once. I don't understand. I mean, there's a bag with all kinds of pressure that's going to come out, and it's going to be bad.
Maybe she just trusts my driving that much.
It's not your driving that could be the problem. It's the other
I can still evade with my quick cat-like reflexes.
All right, spider. Man,
you should have seen me running from a deer this morning.
Got to fill us in.
Good morning, Mark. What's bugging you?
Good morning, Bob and Greg. Yeah, what's bugging me, it actually exasperates me. It's these text editor things like Microsoft Word or Facebook Messenger where you start typing and it tries to, like, think what you're writing and it tries to complete your sentence for you. I don't need a computer. Maybe it's an AI feature, but I don't need these tools trying to tell me what I want to write. I want to write without it trying to lead me along.
And you know what I found out?
That
when you auto type in sorry for your loss,
yeah.
sorry for your loss never comes up.
Really?
Yep.
You'd think that'd be the first thing.
You'd think. Yeah.
Now we're all going to go try it.
Okay. Do it. Tell me what you think.
All right.
729 on the Bob Rose Show. Thanks for contributing to What's Bugging You, brought to you by Florida Pest Control. Coming up at 835, we shine the spotlight of valor on first responders operating above and beyond. So we'll talk about that. That's coming up on News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. June is the month of valor here on the sky, so we will be highlighting that beginning this morning at approximately 8:35. Valor is presented by Lawful Defense, GTR, Campus USA Credit Union, and I think you're going to enjoy this and every story as you have and your support for Valor. We thank you for. It is 7:36. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Going around the internet, Xi Jinping's daughter, did she go to school at Harvard? Does she still live here? What's going on? She got into Harvard, but Barron Trump couldn't. Barron Trump never applied to Harvard, according to his mother. Okay, so let's end that here. Now, did Xi Jinping's daughter go to Harvard? It appears yes. Here's part of the story, and part of it was brought on by Laura Loomer, who ran for Congress, but she didn't win. I think a couple times she won a primary, but then she didn't win. But she's considered a MAGA activist, Laura Loomer. She called for the deportation of Chinese President Xi Jinping's daughter following U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio's announcement that the U.S. will begin aggressively revoking visas of Chinese students. All right. Rubio added that the State Department will revise visa criteria to impose stricter scrutiny on all future applicants from China and Hong Kong. So the spotlight turned to Xi Mingzhe, the daughter of Xi Jinping, after Loomer claimed that she is living in Massachusetts under heavy security. Again, this is Laura Loomer's information, her take or whatever. But She said in all caps, let's go deport Xi Jinping's daughter. She lives in Massachusetts and went to Harvard. Sources tell me PLA guards from the CCP provide her with private security on U.S. soil in Massachusetts. Loomer declared that she intended to question Xi Mingza about her father's policy, saying communists don't belong in our country. Well, apparently the daughter has remained intensely private, most of the details of her life shrouded in secrecy. She studied under a false name at Harvard from 2010 to 2014, majoring in psychology after previously attending Zhejiang University and Hangzhou Foreign Language School. So China swiftly condemned the U.S. government's visa crackdown as Foreign Ministry spokesman Mao Ning labeled the move politically motivated and accused Washington of weaponizing ideology under the guise of national security. Isn't that interesting? The communist country tells us that we are weaponizing ideology? Really? I mean, you've got to be kidding, right? So so many Chinese nationals want to be educated here. So many of their parents want them to be educated here. Even the leaders want their children educated here in the U.S. But we're some terrible monster of a country. Capitalism doesn't work. Freedom doesn't work. Voting, having a constitutional representative republic, doesn't work. Communism is superior to it. Then why are you all sending your bright people to get educated here? And then you say that when we decide maybe that's not a good idea, that we're weaponizing ideology. I mean, who weaponizes ideology more than communists? Right? The U.S. decision to revoke visas is entirely groundless. It harms the legitimate rights of Chinese students. Whose rights? Legitimate rights from what? From who? Legitimate rights. You see what they do? They play right into the lefty playbook. Somehow, Chinese nationals, young people from another country who've applied to go to school here, somehow they have some sort of legitimate rights? That, of course, is what our enemy, not necessarily them, but whatever our enemy can take advantage of in terms of what they perceive to be a weakness of our ideology, like freedom. They want to take advantage of that. Oh, you're a free country. Well, then we have a right to go to school there because, remember, you're all about freedom.
It is messed up, thoroughly messed up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I just thought it was hilarious that they say that us cracking down is politically motivated and we're weaponizing ideology. Look, again, let's go back to the basics. We don't owe anyone else anything. Out of the great goodness of our hearts, Americans are the most generous people. We give and we give both governmentally, individually. We are a giving, loving nation. But we should never be made to feel guilty if we decide that we want to be a little stricter about who comes into our country to take advantage of the wonderful opportunities that freedom allows, that capitalism allows. Why should we invite all these people in who their parents won't ever change their political ideology, will they?
No, not a bit.
So you believe in communism, but you want your kids educated in the U.S.
We dealt with this, 30 years ago with Middle Eastern kids here coming over from countries that wanted to blow us up.
Yeah.
And they came here to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And we seemed to not have a problem with it.
International students, India and China together, accounting for 54% of international students, 54% between the two countries. Well, they're the two most populated countries also, contributed more than $50 billion to the U.S. economy in 2023. The Trump administration has broadened social media screening for foreign students and is pushing to increase deportations and revoke student visas as part of its broader hardline immigration strategy. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's hardline. You're a guest of our nation. You are here through the kindness of our hearts, and you could be educated here. But to think that it is somehow owed to you, wrong, to think that somehow it is a right? No, people died and continue to die to protect these rights. You don't have those rights where you come from, but don't try to use that freedom against us. Oh, you said you're free, so let me in. Come on. We know a Trojan horse when we smell one. Yeah, Americans might not be that smart and not all know all of history, but
yep,
we know a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. So yeah, they're upset about that. All right. You heard about this terrorist attack, right? Burning people alive. Yeah. Department of Homeland Security officials have revealed that the suspect behind the Park Street Mall attack in Boulder is an illegal alien who entered the United States under the Biden administration. We're not shocked. Fox News' Bill Malusian revealed that the three senior DHS sources said Mohammed Sabri Suleiman, 45, is an Egyptian national in the U.S. illegally and has overstayed his visa after entering the United States under the Biden administration. Malusian added that he was told Suleiman arrived at LAX. Okay? Flew right into Los Angeles.
Wow.
On 8/27/22 on a B1, B2 non-immigrant visa with an authorized stay through 2/26/23, but he overstayed and never left. Malusian's post came after FBI Special Agent Mark Michalek revealed during a press conference that Suleiman had been identified as the suspect behind the attack, which left multiple people injured and burned. By the way, it was like eight people that were injured. Wow. And you know, unfortunately, very often when people are burned, it increases mm-hmm. the chance for serious infection, and the more serious the burn, et cetera. So there's a lot of people survive for a while.
Yeah. Silly question, but wouldn't it seem like we could have a pretty simple system that if you're in our system with a visa and it has a use-by date, kind of like the milk in the freezer or the refrigerator, that if by the day that date comes up and it has not been cross-referenced that they have left the country, it should automatically be flagged and they should be removed.
Taken off the shelf.
Shouldn't be that hard. No.
Mm-mm. Taken off the shelf.
That's right.
And sent home.
Absolutely.
Seems simple only enough. We were in charge, Greg. I life know. Would be so much better.
They just don't listen, do they?
And everybody would have an apple fritter. Thanks, Pam.
You're awesome.
7:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we've got plenty more to talk about. And June is also Valor Month. Listen for that, approximately 8:35. News Talk, 97.3 The Sky. Yeah! Good morning and happy Monday. It is 7:49. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. I told you about the what's being called really an anti-Semitic terror attack in Boulder. The guy was using a flamethrower. Eight people have been injured. The guy's name is Mohammed Sabri Suleiman. He's 45. He's an Egyptian national that's in the U.S. illegally. Overstayed his visa under the Biden administration. That's who apparently let him in with a visa. And I just wanted to point out once again that remember the FBI reports, and we can go back several years. What was the number one threat? What was the number one threat to Americans? I mean, I think the climate change thing got thrown in there somewhere, but I mean, as far as people are concerned,
the terrorism?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But no.
Domestic terrorism?
Yeah, but by who? What the FBI was saying before.
Oh.
militias,
yeah,
and white supremacy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I'd forgotten about that.
And right. Have we seen that, other than the attempted kidnapping of Governor Whitmer, which is just like the J6 thing, and yeah, hopefully that will be unraveled very, very soon. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it should be unraveled, meaning there was a lot of government interplay making these things happen. But
you're right. Whenever we see these terrorist things, it's not happening by a bunch of good old boys in the woods like they want us to think. It's,
exactly.
It's a lot of times Middle Eastern, very, very commonly Middle Eastern.
Yeah, they're telling us the exact opposite of what really the threat is.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to point that out, as every day we get reports about, unfortunately, somebody acting out. What's the thing now? Free Palestine.
Yep.
Instead of Allah Akbar or whatever. Uh-huh. Now it's Free Palestine.
Right.
And they're killing people like they did. Remember the Israeli couple that were slaughtered in cold blood?
Yep.
Yeah. So it is not white supremacy. You know, they wanted that to stick. They thought that something like that would somehow, because they try to connect Trump to that stuff, that would be some sort of an effective political tool. Well, it hasn't been. It wasn't accurate, for one thing. And they, of course, are not going to walk this stuff back. They never do. Hey, if I say I'm a member of Congress and I say the Penguin, do you have any idea who I might be referring to?
I would think Nadler. He's a very large penguin.
Circle gets the square.
But I just had to envision him.
Who could play?
Yes.
The Penguin.
He could, yes.
Yes, and that's who I'm talking about.
Oh, wow.
So, excellent work as usual, Greg.
Thank you.
Federal officials handcuffed an aide of Congressman Jerry Nadler's.
Whoa.
Yes. In his Manhattan office on Wednesday, the congressman was very upset, pointing his finger at Donald Trump. Whack, whack, whack. You don't do this. Whack, whack, whack. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whack, whack, whack.
I just see that.
And I saw Trump, and he had fear in one eye and concern in the other.
Yeah, right.
Not whack, whack, whack. When the U.S. Department of Homeland Security officers entered the office, they handcuffed an aide, accused staffers of harboring rioters.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I can see that.
One staffer asked to see a warrant. Video footage of the incident, one person is heard saying, "No, she did not. This is not what happened." While an officer handcuffs the aide, who appears to be crying, she pushed him back, one of the officers says. Moments later, an officer is heard saying, "Stop resisting," as the aide continued conversing with him.
A little testy there.
DHS later said in a statement that the one individual, the woman seen being handcuffed, had blocked police from performing a security check they intended to do based on information there were protesters in the lawmaker's office. Later that day, protesters gathered outside of the federal building demonstrating against U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Hmm. Nadler's office would not comment on what led up to the chaotic incident. But two people who were at the courthouse to monitor ICE activity said that the confrontation came after ICE officers threatened to arrest them and other advocates, and an Adler staffer invited the advocates inside.
Okay, well, there you go.
Taken out in cuffs.
Yep.
And there was nothing, whack, whack, the Penguin could do about it.
Wow.
Yep. Oh, ICE agents are now being called terrorists.
Oh, so now they're the terrorists.
And you think, well, these college students, some of these college students are really getting out of control. They're really, no, it wasn't a college student. It was a San Diego city councilman.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah. San Diego, yeah.
But still,
That's crazy.
You should be somewhat aware of reality, I would hope.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe not so much.
Hmm.
But the San Diego city councilman drew the ire of viewers on social media and condemnation from the White House after posting a photo of ICE agents and with the word terrorist written in red.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, how ridiculous and absurd is that? How dangerous is that? You're basically making a target out of them, and they're weak-minded people who will buy into that. I mean, this is way stronger rhetoric. That remember what they claimed that, oh, it was President Trump that incited the riot on January 6th by his language. His language wasn't, you know, calling the Democrats all terrorists.
No.
But ICE agents, in the mind of this San Diego councilman, Sean Elo Rivera, he upped his attacks on ICE agents from his previous name calling, which included epithets such as cowards, criminals, and jackbooted thugs.
Okay. Same old.
They have a tough job to do. I don't think that coward fits in any way, shape, or form. Criminals? Mm-hmm. No, they're upholding the law. Well, hopefully this guy's just confused, but it sounds like the lefty brainwashing has taken a toll. Plenty more coming up on News Talk 97.3 The Sky.